Let's say it again. I am being filled with the knowledge of His will. Say like you believe it, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's. It's a school of prayer, but there's something I just have in my mind, which as I was getting ready, thinking, meditating about what I'll share this evening, it came to my mind. And I want us to go over that. That the book of Mark chapter 4, let's start from there, the book of Mark chapter 4. There's a message I preached some time ago, which I called the process of answers. If you haven't listened to it, I will recommend that you go and get that message and listen to it. Of course, as you know, all these messages are available on our website, and you can easily download them. So the book of Mark chapter 4, verse 26. He said, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil, and he goes to bed at night and gets up by day. And the seed sprouts and grows how he himself does not know. He said, verse 28, produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. He said, but when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now, I want to read that actually from the book, from the Amplified Bible. I want to just read something from the Amplified Bible there. Verse 28. It said, from verse 26, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground and then continues sleeping. Now, I want you to notice something. And then continues sleeping and rising night and day, while the seed sprouts and grows and increases, he knows not how. My emphasis in my teaching for this evening is he doesn't know how. He said the earth produces, acting by itself. It goes through a process. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the crop is ripe, he says, and permits, immediately he sends forth the sickle, the reapers, and puts in the sickle because the harvest stands ready. Now, why did I read this? It's our school of prayer, so I want to explain something about how God answers prayers. I've talked about it here and there. I mentioned something here, I think one of these last few days we're teaching here, that I was listening to Kenneth Hagin teach about the different, he was taking each healing miracle that the Lord Jesus, while he was on the earth, and analyzing what happened. And they took the case of the man that the son was sick and came to beg the Lord Jesus Christ to come and heal his child. And he said, let me just summarize so don't spend time on it, that what happened was that when Jesus said to him, go, your son lives. And on the way, the man asked those who were already coming to come and meet him, because they were coming to tell him not to bother the Lord again, because the boy suddenly started getting better. So he now asked them, at what point did this boy start amending or recovering? And they gave him a particular time. And he realized that that was a time that the Lord Jesus said to him, go, your son will be okay. Now, what was he trying to bring out from there? Kenneth Hagin said that you will notice that that was the first miracle. He said that was the first healing miracle. It was recorded as the second miracle. And the first sign that he did was the turning of water to wine. So that was therefore the first healing miracle. Now he said it is striking, all right, and instructive to note that that healing was gradual. That was why the man asked, he said, at what point did the boy start improving? He did not suddenly get up and was well. He began to improve. I wanted to note it. It wasn't as if the boy, one moment he was sick, next moment he was playing football. What I think happened as an example is that for that man to think the boy was going to die, I want to assume the boy was now unconscious. As an example, assuming he's having a fever for some time, at this point they couldn't rouse him anymore. If you've ever been to where your children are sick and all of that, of course I've worked in pediatric wards and all of that, it happens like that. A child that has cerebral malaria, as an example, one of the ways you know is that suddenly he becomes unresponsive. He's breathing. Sometimes the eyes are open. I remember once one of my colleagues was telling me that a patient was unconscious. I was surprised. I turned at her, he's unconscious. Because the boy was looking. I thought he was looking, you know. He said he's unconscious, and he just waved his hand over the boy's eyes. We normally, everybody will blink. And the boy didn't respond. You understand my point? I said, oh, it's true, he's unconscious. And he was treating him for cerebral malaria. Now, I'm giving us an example. That you see, those are the situations you know that somebody will now know that this boy is probably going to die. And that was when he got up and ran to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, please come and help me. My son is dying. And then I'm just trying to paint a picture from my own personal experience of what could have happened. And they said the boy began to recover. Maybe along the line, suddenly he opened his eyes and then he began to talk. He's still febrile. He's still weak. He's still lying down there. He's still needing care. But now he's not unconscious anymore. Do you understand my point? And in fact, just if you read my book, The Great Faith Can Be Yours. I describe an experience I had when I was a youth copper. What I'm telling you now, it actually happened to one of my patients, but she was a senior person. I mean, like, not a child. Was a mother, all right? It really happened. I went and prayed, serious prayer. Next day, the woman had been unconscious for some time, suddenly opened her eyes and said that, okay, I'm hungry, that I would like to eat. I said, no, you can't eat yet for certain reasons. But the fever, all right, was still there, even though it had calmed down a bit. But I still didn't let her eat because we're still trying to treat. It was a very serious condition, all right? So I'm trying to bring out an issue here. So the fellow began to amend. He began to improve. It was not an instantaneous miracle. Please bear this in mind, though. It's very, very important you follow up in my train of thoughts. And the man now asked them, at what point did this happen? And they said it was this particular hour. And that was the time that Jesus said to him, go, your child will live. Now, Kenneth Hagin now made a statement, which is the reason what I'm trying to bring out from all of these things. All this is my story, eh? Is to come up to one single statement the man made. He said that people expect God to answer prayers instantly all the time, which we can easily all understand that many of us do that. He said, but the Lord doesn't always work those kind of instantaneous miracles. You are getting my point. Sometimes he answers, but then the healing is a process. The answer is a process. That's why I did that teaching there, which I call the process of answers, all right? And that's what I want to explain something further from that particular point today. So he was saying that this is now what the issue is, that many people, because God doesn't immediately answer like that, listen to what I want to say, oh, they turn off the switch of faith. He said this is what the problem is. People now turn off the switch of faith. Because the answer is not instantaneous. And that's what I want to teach about this evening briefly. People turn off the switch of faith because they don't get an instantaneous answer. And I want to encourage us this evening that if you are praying about something, if you are praying, take an example about our country as an example, this country that we've been praying about for a very long time. Many people lose hope because something doesn't happen the way they thought it would happen. I remember Pastor Bakari told a story about himself. That something happened when the former head of state, General Abacha, died, and General Abdusalami took over. When they had meetings and all of that, planning what to happen in the country in the transition, because Abacha Abdusalami was not interested in retaining office as the head of state. When General Abdusalami announced what he wanted to do, Pastor Ndebakare packed his bag. Are you getting my point? He said, I watched him on TV. He said he packed his bag and said he's leaving the country. Because he felt that the country wouldn't survive it. But you know we survived it. You know we survived it.
Yes,
we have prospered more than ever before, at least if you remove the early days of the colonial masters. We have prospered more than ever before in the last, since that time actually. Because God worked through different ways. We've had our problems, we've had our challenges, but God works different ways. It didn't happen instantly. Ken Higgins said, when people don't see that kind of result, they instantly turn off the switch of faith. I've given this example here many times, that the same man I'm referring to, and another minister, Lillian B. Yeomans, and I think John Gillick, different ones of them made this statement in different ways. They said that if you give the doctor the same attention, if you give me the same attention that you give to the doctor, all right, I will get you healed 100% of the times. 100% of the times, I will get people healed, except that it will not cost them a dime. He said, but they don't do that. If the doctor says to them, take this pill and take it every day for the next 1 year before you get well, do you know the people will take it? Sometimes the doctor doesn't even tell you to take it for 1 year. He tells you to take it for a whole lifetime. You have hypertension, that's what they do. You have a Parkinson's disease, that's what they do. You have diabetes, they take your treatment for a lifetime. And people are patient. I've given this example before. And so this man of God said, listen, if you will just give to me the same faith, now please follow the word now I'm using, the same faith which is manifested in your attention as you give to these doctors, believe me, you will get healed 100% of the times, and the only difference is that I won't charge you a kobo. Of course, the doctor charges every time you show up. What am I going to explain? So that man of God said that this is when people turn off the switch of faith. And once you turn off the switch of faith, let me explain something to you, you will drown. Let me say it again. Once you turn off the switch of faith, you are going to drown. It would have been better you did not step out of the boat. You know the story I'm referring to? That's the man who?
Peter.
Peter was in the boat. He stepped out, obeying the word of God, on the commandment of God. And yet, at the point in time, he turned off the switch of faith. And he began to sink. And that's what I'm trying to explain to people. Listen, God answers prayers in different ways. Let me now go into my main message. That's the background to what I'm trying to explain to us. God answers prayers in different ways. Different ways. And the thing is that do not lean on your own understanding is what the Bible says. In all your ways, do what? Acknowledge Him. There's something I taught us some time ago about when you want to make requests of God. There's something about prayer. Solomon said, guard your steps when you are coming near the temple. Guard your steps. Draw near, he said, to listen. What I want to emphasize is the word there, guard your steps. And I explained something to us some time ago that when you want to come to the place of prayer, again, guard your request. Let me put it like that. That is, be sure of exactly what you are asking for and focus on that thing that you are asking for. You know my reason? Because many times, God doesn't answer the prayer in the way we thought He will answer it. Are you getting my point? Let's use, you know, Jesus always used to use money as an example, so it's a very good one to use. Let's use money as an example. A woman has been lacking for a very long time, and the fellow begins to pray. All right, you just graduated from school, you need a job. So they say, okay, Shell, an oil company, is advertising. You hear that, okay, let's say, you just mentioned one big company, right? They say, okay, I want to work in one big bank and all of that. And then those people advertise, I'm going to say. And then the fellow begins to pray. And then begins to, forget my joke, sow a seed, declare, anoint an application. Some people actually put oil at the edges of their application before they submit. You are laughing. Many people do it. You know, people do it a lot of time. Okay? And some people, they can't. They put a cloth on top of the envelope and pour the oil on top of the cloth so as to anoint the application. People do things like that. It's faith, you know. They say their faith. Someone will say, okay, I'm striking the application with mantle. And I strike the application, go forth and bring me this thing. And then some anoint themselves, you know, do all kinds of things for the interview. Why? That's what I mean by guard your steps. Why? Is it that you love that oil company so much? Or you love MTN so much? Or you love GT Bank so much? Or whatever it is, you know, that you love. So is it that you love them so much? Or you love the industry? Most of the time, the answer is what? No. No. The fellow just feels that this is the pathway to prosperity. And I'm explaining. That's where you have to be careful as a child of God. Don't ever do that. No matter the prayer, the faith somebody teaches you, as they claim it by faith, you can't claim that job by faith. You can claim prosperity by faith because God promised it. Amen? Yeah, you can. You can. Because it's a promise in the word of God. But the process by which it manifests, you don't know. That's what I want to emphasize. I said a long story at the beginning. What one man of God said, do not turn off the switch of faith. Don't turn it off. There was something that my wife asked me some time ago. We're sitting there at home just discussing the word of God, you know, just sharing the scriptures. And we're talking about the angel. I think she was reading the Bible. And just called my attention that, please, give me an answer here. That Daniel prayed, and then 21 days later, the angel showed up. And the angel said that the first day you prayed, you were heard. And she now asked me, if he was heard the first day, what if he stopped praying the 15th day as an example? What would have happened? You know, it dawned on me that I never thought about it. That, okay, apparently his prayer, although since that time I've gained some more understanding, we had this discussion some years ago, a few years, not too long ago, maybe like 3 years or so or four. I have a new understanding that I teach about that, but I just want to bring an issue here. Our issue was, okay, this man said, the angel that came said, you were here the first day. And the man prayed for 21 days. She asked me, what if he left on the 10th day? What if he stopped praying on the 15th day? What if he stopped his process on the 20th day? What would have happened? That was my first time of thinking about it. I said, well, it's easy to say the angel would have gone back. The question is, why would the angel go back if he was on his way? You have to answer that. Yes, do I think the angel will go back? I think he will have turned back. I think that the angel may not have given him the answer. And the reason is simple. Because it is he that endures to the end that is saved. And that's what the Bible calls patience. I need to emphasize it to us again. That's what the Bible calls patience. That is, what it will have meant is that this man is no longer praying in faith. If he had a different understanding, if he had a different doctrine that did not require him to continue that fasting, maybe he finished praying after the second or third day, and he says that, I'm okay, I believe God has heard me, and every day he wakes up and says, I know the Lord has heard me. Then he's still walking in faith. Do you understand my point? And the angel will still come to him and meet him one day. But he didn't operate like that. He stayed in the place of prayer. And if he left that place, it would be that he gave up believing that nothing is going to happen. That is what I am getting us to focus on again. God does not always give these instantaneous answers that a lot of us preachers have focused the minds of people on. Sometimes he does it. Many times he doesn't. Most times he does not. I want you to understand. Most times, that's why I preach that life is working. That's why I preach that thing all the time. That there is a process of life. Just like there was a process of death, there's also a process of life. And the emphasis of my teaching this evening is that you must never, using the words of Kennedy Hagin, you must never be careful that you do not turn off the switch of faith. Because at any point that you turn it off, it stops working. It is only you have to endure it till the end. And that's why I say to Christians, you must know something. You commit your life to something, first of all. You must. It's committing your life to that process that gives you the result. Because if you are not committed to that process, I like one thing I was hearing TGJ shared the other time. It was somebody was interviewing him. They sent me the video clip, all right? You know, this WhatsApp things move around. That's how I got that one. And it was emphasizing that enjoy the process. If you are doing something in life, you are aiming for something, make sure you enjoy the process. That is why I laugh at people who want to lose weight. They stop eating entirely. They say they are doing hallelujah diet. Whether an hallelujah diet or custard be the diet, do you get my point? Listen, that people do, you can't sustain most of them. That's why I laugh at people. They say, forget this thing. Any diet you can't do for a lifetime, don't start it. Did you hear what I said? I'm not joking about it though. They put on the diet, say you lose weight in 6 weeks. Bros, the weight you lose in 6 weeks, once you stop, you will gain back in 6 days. I just want you to get that point. So I explain to people, listen, anything you want to start in life, make up your mind you can do this thing for life. Listen, when I started the ministry, there's one prayer you shouldn't pray for me. God, please let his ministry be big. It's nonsense prayer. It has no meaning. Who's looking for big ministry? Why do people want big ministry? For information, kingdom is always growing. But I'm going to make an issue here, okay? Please follow what I'm going to explain. Nobody's look, big ministry. What is big ministry? Bigger offerings? Bigger man of Godism? Listen, the prayer, if you want to pray for me, all right? And pray for Kingdom World Ministries. The prayer that I want, let me tell you now, and I'm begging you, add it just 3 times a week, 30 seconds each. If you can do more than that, I'm happy. If you can take one more in a month, take 1 hour, and say, Pastor Banky, now me and you today. 1 hour, I will tell you the kind of things to say. That's about ministry. You can pray for my personal life. You can pray for my children. You can pray for my wife. Yes, I know. But I want to talk about ministry. That's one, anointing will increase on my head. Amen. You wake up and say, Pastor Banky, Holy Ghost fire on your head. In the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost fire. I like it like that. Don't waste it on your enemies. You know, I've said that one again and again. Just you and your family get up and say, this morning, Holy Ghost fire on Pastor Banky. In the name of Holy Ghost fire, that man of God, Holy Ghost fire on his face, Holy Ghost fire on his head, Holy Ghost fire. People say, they'll call Pastor Banky, they want to kill you here. No, they're not trying to kill me. They have heard me. They know the truth about the fire of the Holy Spirit. Are you getting my point? Do that one for me. I like it. All right? Ask that God will open doors through which I can declare the truth that he has placed in my mouth. Okay, another one. Don't ever forget. Pray for me that I will never backslide from teaching the truth, but that truth will become finer and better and more refined. That I will never preach a popular doctrine. You hear what I said? Popular doctrine. I should not be afraid that doors will close if I say some things. Let the doors close. I don't care. God said to Jeremiah, listen, if you are afraid of them, I will disgrace you. That's what God said to Jeremiah. So anything I put in your mouth, say it. If you, because of people, don't say it. And let me tell you something. Anytime God commands, the opposite is the natural thing. If God says, you must not be afraid, it means normally, when Jeremiah sees them at Aso Rock, he no go fit talk. You are getting what I'm going to explain. Very, very important, all right? So, pray that kind of prayer that boldness will come on me so that I will declare the truth all the time. Don't pray that, Lord, let his ministry be a big one. It has no meaning. That's what I'm trying to explain. These are the kind of things you pray. There are more revelation. Let him open Genesis chapter 1 and understanding of eternity will come from there. You know, things like that. That's the kind of prayer you pray. And as he travels, keep him safe. You understand? Stuff like that. Those are the kind of things you pray. Don't pray carnal prayers for me. Amen? Amen. Mm-hmm. I hope you've understood what I said there. All right, the Lord is good. I know. You know what I'm telling that is that when I started teaching the way I teach now, I was ready to do it for a lifetime. That's what I'm trying to explain. You can't discourage. Oh God, you can't discourage me. When I started teaching the Kingdom World Ministries, I was not preaching for the day that the whole stadium will gather and listen to me. Are you getting my point? If they want to gather, gathering is free. We don't charge for gathering. It is you that want to gather, not me. Once some people came to invite me to go somewhere, I told them that I wasn't interested in coming. And the guy was trying to persuade me. He said the people will be plenty. I wanted to slap him. But because I cannot slap an adult, I became more determined not to go. So this guy was asking me that day. He didn't know that the main problem was that it's a campus fellowship in Enugu. That this is campus, you neck. I beg, I'm not coming. So his interpretation was that I don't go to campus fellowships because they are small. He didn't know me. So he was like, no, it's a program, people will be plenty. I felt insulted. I'm serious about it. I felt really, because he didn't realize, all right, is that for me, the crowd means nothing. What I want is hunger in the hearts of people. Invite me to go somewhere, I get there, I meet 10, 15 people, but then I can see they are ready to hear word. I can stay with them a whole week. I have no problem with it. Why am I telling the story? Because I made up my mind from the beginning. I had my focus. My focus is not you, I mean like people like that, or the what they will get, no offering they will give, or how big the meeting is. My focus is that I am given the opportunity to pour this thing out. Once I have that opportunity, forget it. I don't get tired. That's the principle of patience. That's what I explain to people that listen. Back to the issue I was saying earlier. When they say lose weight, a special diet, nothing wrong with the diet though. Just ask, can I eat like this all my life? They say, wake up in the morning and eat grass. Fine. Don't eat anything that has spiritual substance in it before 6 o'clock at night. Well, you want to fast your whole life? No problem. If you are not willing to do it for a lifetime, that's what I'm trying to say, don't start it. Because you will be discouraged. I hope you're getting my point. And that's what I'm trying to teach here. That Christians should focus on a lifestyle that they can, you know, you can continue for life. Now, back to what I was saying. Listen, what I'm saying so is that the answers of God don't always come, you know, quickly. They don't always come quickly. And when it doesn't come as many people want it, they do what Kenneth Hagin called turning off the switch of faith. Because, listen to this, they have been sowing seeds and praying. The first job, like the one we're talking about, he sowed seed for it and prayed and anointed himself, the paper and everything, it didn't come. The next one, he did the same thing. The third one, he did the same thing. At the end of the day, by the time he gets to the first one, he goes for a church meeting one day, a fellowship meeting. And he tells him that God wants you to prosper. He doesn't believe it anymore. Why? Because in his own understanding, where the prosperity will come from, he has done every spiritual thing he knows to do, and it didn't come that way. Then he gets discouraged. And this is the interesting part. If he gets discouraged at that point, he will never prosper. Did you hear what I said? With this faith matter, please, though, you must be ready to follow it forever. Don't put an end to it. Don't say, I've heard prayers like, God, you must answer me by December. Usually he answers the next year. Once you give him a date, you've lost it. I told you the story I heard once of a woman who told God, he told her friends, I have told God that he has to get me a husband by December. Listen, if you don't want to obey him, if you don't want to follow him, please follow anybody you like. And you will find whatever is waiting for you at the end in that one. I hope you are getting my point. Why am I saying this? Because when we lock our faces, our eyes on things that we can see like that, that doesn't mean God must do it that way. He can want to use another method. And as long as your eyes are locked in the wrong place, God won't change his method because of you. If your eyes are locked in the wrong place, you don't get the manifestation. After a while, it will appear as if the word is not working. Whereas the word actually works. The problem is you. The problem is me. In that we are not looking at the direction in which, in fact, not as if we are not looking at the direction, we are looking focused on a direction through which God is not planning to manifest himself. And as long as you are focused on that, and you know he doesn't get tired. One day when you have now become discouraged, you now drop the faith matter. And listen, once you drop faith matter, you sink. And that's why I encourage people, don't look at your imagined process. Look at the word. God never promised you a job in an oil company. There's no such promise in the scriptures. Even though the scriptures are abundant concerning the matter of prosperity, God never promised you a job in a particular company. The truth is that eyes have not seen the process by which he will bring his promise to pass. That's why we read that scripture, book of Mark chapter 4. Remember what he said there in that verse 26. He said, the earth produces, he himself does not know how. All these business books you read that have details on how to plot your results, they are deceiving you. Listen, they always give testimonies of a man who did something and it worked. Have you noticed? Pastors do it, those books do it. But the truth is that the man did not know it will work. He finished doing it, then now wrote the story backward. That's what they call biography. They say, sir, you have reached here or you have died. Let us now go back to your childhood. The man did not ask God, give birth to me in this family. He was not able to pray. The family he found himself or she found herself born in, nobody discussed. All the experience of his childhood, they didn't discuss with him or her. They will not pack everything together and make it look like it's a process. People say, where you want to go, look at it. You begin to focus on it as if David focused on being a king. As if Joseph focused on being prime minister. In case you do not know, Joseph wanted to go home. I don't know which Bible you read. All those ones, they'll be making it look like wisdom is knowing the... I've heard people like... say, you need a plan. 20 years plan. I said, bros, 20 years plan. 20 years plan. Have you seen tomorrow? He himself does not know how. He said, Pastor, you say we should not have a plan. I've told you, the plan of a Christian... this is the will of God, sanctification.
Wake up every day. Say, that thing I'm doing today, there must be, I must increase the volume of righteousness every day. That's your plan. Occupy with this until I come. The day is going to come, you don't know. How it's going to come, you don't know. What is coming back with, you don't know. What is going to give to you after, you have no idea. You just occupy until he comes. People say, have a 50-year plan. How can you plan for 50 years? You can't. You can have, you know what most people, what they have is projection. You know what they call projection? That's companies, individuals. He says, sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. People say, are you not going to plan for the future of your children? I have no plans for their future. Why are they going to school? Because children are supposed to go to school. Learning, the school they are going to is today's business. I hope you get my point. It's not tomorrow's business. People don't, Christians must learn how to live in today. Today doesn't, you know, some Christians, people think that when you talk like this, it means that you don't care about tomorrow. Yes, I don't care about tomorrow. How else can I say it? Because the Bible says, don't care. What did he say? Sufficient unto the day. The problem with Christians is that they don't know how to identify the day. They think sufficient unto 24 hours is the recklessness thereof. So you give him money today, young man. You dash him 2 million naira. He said, listen, sufficient unto the day. Guys, more go eat. Go to an expensive Chinese restaurant. Carry the whole team there. Say, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Oh boy, eat. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Drink. That is also disobeying the scriptures. He said, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That is an extreme application of the truth. You've now turned it into error. You know what the guy is doing wrong? He's mismanaging the funds of today. He's working in sin. Because when they gave him money, he was supposed to do what? Manage it. And he decided that tomorrow we die, let's eat it. That is where he made the mistake. It's not that people say he did not plan for tomorrow. Those who planned for tomorrow, they also failed. They also failed. What is wrong with what that young man did is, one, he did not know how to identify today. What is today? I will explain it. I'm a young man. I'm 16, 17, 14, 18, whatever it is. I'm just stepping into university. Let me ask you a question before I talk about that. If I wake up in the morning, where does the day end? Physical day, like 24 hours day. When does the day end? If I wake up in the morning, when does the day end? Does it end next minute? Does it end next hour? That day has like a 24-hour cycle. The day, 12-hour day, if I start, let's assume by 6, it will become night around 6 p.m. So it's still within the day. I hope you are getting my point. Even though it is still future, the next 2 hours is still to come. But Jesus said the day. So days are relative. Days are what? I enter into university today. My day is 4 years. I hope you are getting my point. My day is what? 4 years. So what is the day? Excellence while I am on that campus. What is the duty of the day? I do everything with graduating with a good grade as the focus. It's the process of that day. That's no future. Because the day they give you the admission letter, I remember the way my own read, they've given you an admission letter to take courses that lead to the award of the degree, Bachelor of Medicine, Bachelor of Surgery. Within 6 years, they gave it to us. It was something like that. That is, that day has an end already stated. I hope you get my point. You must understand principles. Even within that day, they will start breaking things further down. For example, if I don't have enough money for 6 years, I don't have to worry. For example, assume I have a scholarship. He said, I'm not going to go into school. Say, why not? Because my scholarship covers a year. You are worrying about another day. Because as far as that scholarship is concerned, each day is a year. I don't know whether you get my point. So we analyze that the funds for that year. But on the overall picture, when I have to make my plans for academics and everything, my degree period is a day. I'm not saying Christians don't worry, they don't do anything concerning the immediate tomorrow. But you must understand how to identify what? Your day. Why am I saying this? Because what the next day will be, you don't know. But it is dependent, spiritually speaking, on how you perform the righteousness of today. That's why I found out. We're in school. I found out those who did a lot of ministry on campus, they go here, travel to go and preach and all of that, they did not excel academically. And we thought God should help them extra. I don't know what I get my point. No, you've had that idea before. The guy comes to campus, he's a good Christian, he's preaching all over the school. Where's Brother Ajale Koko? He said, he went for a crusade. Where? In Temedu village. Wow, when are they coming back? Next week. Normally, those people fail. Have you not noticed? It didn't happen in your own school. You know what I found out? I used to wonder why. Well, couldn't the Lord have, you know, he could have understood that, you know, they were committed, you know, to the kingdom. Hallelujah. No. You know, God is interesting. Oh, I don't have time to go into all of this. My time to go. Sometimes God will do that. I say, I don't know you before. I even wonder, like, Lord. You know the Bible said about the disciples? When Jesus walked on water, he said, I was going to walk past them. So the Lord does as if he don't know you before. And you're being like, excuse me, sir, we went to preach for you. Yes, we left lectures, studies, exams, the business of the day to go and preach for you. Are you seeing the way the Lord is reading it? So he will anoint you, you will preach. You will raise the dead. The blind, they will see. The lame will walk. The exam, you will fail. And you'll be looking like, what? What is going on here? Lord, please, let's get this clear. Did you not say we should go and preach? I said so. But what about this one? Well, the part of me that sent you on this one did not discuss with the part of me that's finally anointing on this. Christian work requires a lot of wisdom. What should you do? It's simple. You're going to settle down and say, Lord, help me. How do I balance these two? He will now say to you, my friend or my servant, this is how it is. The primary assignment I've given you for now is 4 years, bachelor's of engineering, or 5 years. Settle down and learn it. And let this your ministry matter be secondary. Don't miss class to go and preach. Preach on weekends. Don't travel and leave school for conventions, unless the conventions hold during holidays. And tell you like that. He said, Lord, but souls are perishing. No problem. Then come, withdraw from school. That's it. Or suspend the school. No, that's how God does it. Some of these I'm saying, some people still will not agree. They think zeal impresses the Lord. He will not, because of your zeal, destroy principles he has established. People come with all kinds of testimonies. I did not read the way out preaching. Then I came. I did not even come for the test. And I got an A. Listen to me. Does the Lord do something like that? Once in a million years, it does. But when it does, you know what he says? Don't tell anybody. He says, between you and me. He said, why shouldn't I tell anybody, Lord? He said, the reason being that if you do, the small boys and girls coming after, they will think that is the passport to getting A. The engineer that gets an A will be a fool. And how will you want a fool to build your house later in life? Because he did not learn engineering. This is a structural engineer. And he goes to use 1 mm rod to do the main beam that's carrying your skyscraper. And God said, do you want it like that? You will say no. So that is the reason why I don't want that miracle I did for you to be spread abroad. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. That's how the Lord works. So he says, okay, so pastor, now that you're a student, yes, it is my plan that you be a student. I don't know how many of you have read my book, Beyond Gifts and Talents. It came out last week. Please, even before that, I sent everything out by email. All right? Go and read it. Because what you don't understand is that when he's training you to be an engineer, knowing you are going to be a preacher, he knows why he's doing it. One of the things I tell the Lord, you hear me say it. I said, it gladdens my heart for certain reasons that God made me a doctor before he made me a preacher. Because there are things I say, people listen. I was in Sokoto preaching yesterday. The statements I made, when Pastor Corey came up to speak after, he said, that was 2 days ago on Sunday. He said, oh, so many of you don't know him. He's a doctor. There was something I said about health. So he wanted them to take it seriously. I was talking about scripture. There are things I say. When I hear people talk about evolution, all of that, my own knowledge, when I tell you, they're lying. It's not just because I have faith in the scriptures. I have enough knowledge of science to know those things they say are lies. Any thinking person ready to open his mind, me and him can sit down and talk. Sometimes when I'm talking to my students, medical students, I said some of these things I'm saying to you when I want to yab the Christians for misbehaving. And only me can say it. If I was a womanizing, drinking, smoking lecturer, you won't listen. You say it's persecuting the church. You get to my point. But once it comes from the mouth of Pastor Banky, they say, you know, everybody go first mellow. That this man is preaching the gospel. This man has committed his life to preaching this gospel. If he's saying this thing, there must be some truth in it. They go and listen first. There are many things that God is doing. He may say, listen, this one, oh boy, structural engineer, I know why I'm making a structural engineer. Because one day I'm sending to a jungle, when are you going to teach them how to build? You don't know now. You are going to be a missionary, and the passport to your entering that mission field, because they would not let any Christian in, is because you are going to be the most skilled structural engineer that's going to be able to handle the kind of terrain they have in laying foundations. But you do not know. So now that he has tossed you into the place to learn structural engineering, he said, learn it well. Preach on weekends. Each day has its troubles. Many times people don't know the trouble of each day. Solve the trouble of tomorrow. Why did I go into all of this? I'm not trying to say that Christians don't plan. I'm saying that what you do is you take your planning is for the full execution of what? The day. As for tomorrow, he forbids you to plan for it. He has divided life into 3 parts. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He said, today is the only day. Let me give an example. Those people that the Lord sent out, do business with this until I come. That doing of business was 1 day. The next day is when he will come. So the principle is this. You have 10 talents, 10 minas. Be occupied, you know, like I always say. Occupy with this. He said, be occupied until I come. Don't plan for what you will do when the master returns. He said, I don't want that plan. 10 talents, you know what they're going to do? They're going to multiply it and keep on working on it. Okay, give one of them one. Work on it so that it becomes 2. When it's 2, work on it until it is 4. When it's 4, work on it until it's 8. Keep on working and working and working, and don't stop working until it comes. All the ones that were planning for what will happen when he comes back, they would not be focused enough on multiplying the talents, the minas he gave them for that day, so that when he comes back, he's the one that starts distributing the kingdoms that he has collected for himself. Who will be in charge of which city? He won't say, what were the plans you made for my coming back? The only plan you're allowed to make for his coming back is have more talents to show him that you have produced. That is the plan for one day. You know why I'm emphasizing this? We don't know how God will answer these prayers. And we must never turn the switch of faith off just because the way we planned it is not working like that. Just because the way we planned it is not working like that. In fact, one day I was talking with one of my colleagues. He was talking about one man of God we used to know. He said that man of God's friend told him once that, you know my friend's problem? He, a younger man, said, what? He said, the man has too much sense. Did you hear that? Another pastor, talking about his friend, also a pastor, said, this is my friend, his problem is that he has too much sense. He can plan too well. He has strategies, all right, for increasing the church, the ministry. But the other man, what is the job we have for today? We teach the word. We are instant in season and out of season. Any other, listen, that's how God does it. You know what God gives you? He gives you ability today. And when he wants to go into tomorrow, he opens a door. What he does is open what? A door. And then you know the kind of door that's your door. Please, so that's another thing in life. Be careful, though. Not be every door be your own. When you are walking, you should know the kind of door that's not your door. What do I mean? Practical example. I know myself very well. God has helped me to a large extent. Many doors that open, they not concern me. So when people join, I started laughing all of a sudden. I remember the story one man of God was telling about, that Kenny Hagin was telling about one of his messages I listened to. He said, knew one man once. Anytime he's lying down, he's always thinking, making plans or making money. Say, preacher. He said, you ask him, Brother Ken, it's night. They are sharing a hotel room. They came to do a program. He said, Brother Ken, are you sleeping? He wants to sleep, but he can't lie that he's not sleeping. No. He said, are you awake? The guy will say, yeah. He said, you know that brother Lazarus, do you reckon you have any money? Do you think you have any money? I said, why do you want to know? I have this business project. I think maybe he'll be willing to invest in. So that guy had a scheme. Oh, he always coming up with schemes to use to make money. And he was supposed to be in ministry. Kenegi said, look, of course, there's no point repeating this thing, the obvious. He didn't last. He didn't last. He had too many plans for making money. I'm talking about it's not every door that's your door. Many doors show up by which somebody like me can make money. As soon as they arrive, say, which area is this? Okay, I know somebody who can do this. I'll give you phone number. That is the end of it. You know, the only door I walk through is the preaching one. If you hear I traveled, there are only two things I went to do. 8 times out of 10, I went to go and preach. Only 2 out of 10, it might be that there's an academic conference and I went for it. Because I still work in the university. But hear that they're having a meeting of regional directors that will move Forever Living Product forward. Just no saying that forever dead pastor be that one. You will not, do you understand my point? You won't find me there. You will not find me there. You won't find me there. Okay, one of my friends called the other day. They said, Mikey, please, we need help. We need to recruit some young men in town. We need to do promo. And I know he's doing good business. I said, you need young men to recruit to do promo? I said, I know somebody who can recruit young men and women. Do you have a pen there? Yes. Write this down. I open my phone, give him your cast number. Call him. Thank you very much. It was nice knowing you. That is the end of that deal. If you come and say, we are trying to buy land and sell land and ideas come up. You want to buy land and sell land? I know one guy. I give you Rocket's number. That's the end of it. I don't want to know what you people did to yourselves. Do you get my point? Don't add me. I don't want a court. Let me just warn you ahead of time. If I open the door of business for you, if you give me a court, I go swear for you. It is... okay, so that you now know me. Don't insult me. Don't... Hear what I said? What did I say? But let me just say what happened to you. That door will close. Now that I've scared you now, so you won't make mistake. Enjoy your money. It's not my own. My own will come. Don't worry. The only one I want you to share with me, somebody say, share with him. Yes. It's when God blesses you and you remember, say, this guy taught me word, though. The word is working. Then, hey, you've caught the rabbit, now we should share it. But say, I know person, I connect with person where I know. That's not preaching. I hope you're getting my point. That's not preaching. That's friendly connection. That's business connection. I don't want a cut from you. If I eat that cut, it will cut my hand. I don't want it. Don't enjoy me. Do you get my point? Don't you want me to live long? Why are you wicked? You want to come and enjoy me? I'm not a broker. I'm a preacher. If I do something for you, it's a favor. The one that I'm warning you ahead is when after you take this word I have preached, you practice it, bosa happens. If you chop them alone, you know I have told you. That's how people get diarrhea spiritually. You just be going to the toilet and say, what happened? You chop Pastor Banky's portion. That is my own engagement with you not passed like that, money-wise. But I connected you are doing something with somebody, and I say, oh, God, see your portion. Lie. I don't care. Let it be a billionaire. I will not be tempted. In Jesus' name, I'm confessing that I will not be tempted. That's how people's ministries end now. It's not every door that's your door. You know, I keep on emphasizing. It's not every door. I have identified the kind of doors that I can pass through. The doors I pass through is one I've told you. I don't know. I'm not aware of. Maybe God would teach me another one tomorrow. The ones I'm aware of today. When you talk about what I call breakthrough, open door. It's an opportunity to preach in places I've not taught before. Somebody comes and says, sir, come, let's pay for this radio. Come and put your messages there. That's an open door. Are you getting my point? Oh, let's expand this. That's what I call open door. Don't come now and tell me that, they are appointing. No, the head of state said that ministers must be appointed this month. He said this month will not pass. And I said, well, I've nominated you for Minister for Health. I am not doing. It's not a bad job. But right now, I know they do. Nothing wrong with it, though. It's just that it's not my kind of door. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, you will live long and do well in life if you quickly know your kind of door. May God help you know the doors that are yours. Amen. What am I trying to say? That's how God moves you to the next level. He opens a door and he says, walk through it, don't be afraid. Some of those doors may look frightful. Walk through it, don't be afraid. That's how you move in life. It's not what you struggle to produce. It is your confidence and faith to walk through a door that God opened for you that takes it from one level to another. That's how he does it. It's not your scheming. He said, "What? How do you scheme? Scheme on what? Today. Your schemings must be limited to the matters of today. I've given you a mina, a talent. Use it and multiply it and keep on working hard at it until I come." I see business people every day trying to scheme. Oh, God, I say, listen, your scheming, this is how you know your scheming is not good. You're a businessman, you're supposed to be serving people in Enugu. You are scheming how to expand it to Abakaliki, Oka, Weri, and Makurdi. It's not a bad idea. You should grow. Amen? Did I say you shouldn't grow? This is how you know you are growing too early. Then your people in Enugu are suffering. Those who are serving in Enugu, they are no longer being well served. You know how tree killer kills a tree? It makes it grow faster than its nutrients can come up the roots. That's how you know you are scheming too fast. I've seen businessmen that scheme. At the end of the day, the primary business ends. Why? They have borrowed and leveraged on this one to go somewhere else without enough fund to sustain the base, then the branch is growing, the root is dying. Show me the branch that can continue to be sustained when the root is dead. What am I trying to say? You focus on today, then God opens a door, and then you walk through it. Did you hear what I said? You exercise faithfulness in the matters of today, then God opens a door, then you walk through it. That's how it works. It is not about you trying to create tomorrow. You can't. Forget all those stories you read in books. 90% of those who did those things, they failed. And most of those who are reading their stories did not plan it like that. You think Mark Zuckerberg knew that Facebook would happen? If you think he's more surprised than you at the growth of Facebook. Believe me, he's more surprised than you. And for you to know, let me explain something to you. I don't know much about him. I don't know who he is, but I know a few stories here and there because I keep my ears open and I learn things. Many years ago, they offered to buy, I don't know which company offered to buy Facebook, whether it was Google or one of those bigger companies, bigger than it that time, offered to buy it for a huge amount of money. You know why he didn't sell? Maybe that time, I think, was like $500 million, you know, big. Now, which would be chicken chain now, if you mean. I mean, how much did they sell WhatsApp the other day? WhatsApp was sold for how much? $19 billion. Uh-huh. So, now, Facebook, as at now, they have hit a landmark of 1 billion users a day. 1 billion people visit Facebook every day now, as at about a week or two ago. That's when they hit it. That's towards the end of August. Now, you know why the man refused to sell? The main reason. The money was big and lucrative. So the young man said, okay, when I sold Facebook, what will I be doing? I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. His one is like, okay, I will sell you Facebook. What will I be doing? That was the reason he did not sell. Not because he thought it would have 1 billion users. He couldn't have thought so. Because 1 billion users is 1 out of 7 people on the earth. Because that doesn't depend on him, I hope you know. You know those who made it happen? Apple, Samsung, Xiaomi, HTC, all those who make mobile phones with large screens. They are the ones that made it possible. Because 1 billion people will not sit on computers every day. It's not possible now. He could not predict that smartphone penetration is going to happen like this. When smartphones came out, they thought it was the preserve of big people, which was what killed Nokia. That's what killed a lot of those guys. They didn't know that that children will carry smartphones. Nobody predicted that a day would come that smartphones would be going for less than $100. It was not predictable. When people like Apple came out with the first iPhone at $700, nobody thought these high-powered machines would be going for less than $100. But now, you know in Nigeria, 9K, oh, Techno will arrange something for you. Just bring the money. It can spoil like next week, it doesn't matter. But this week, it will work. Bring the money. And that's what happened. That's what happened. That's so many people in China now have smartphones. Third world, they call it. They third worlded themselves into smartphones. When smartphones were growing, Facebook too said, okay, we have to be portable. I think about 2 years ago, I started aggressively designing so that you have a focus. They even released their own smartphone. They didn't make it. What am I going to say? The 1 billion people a day was not his doing. It was done by Apple, Samsung, Xiaomi, HTC, Nokia. Those were the people that created the platform by which he was able to give 1 billion people Facebook every day. 1 billion people. But why was it there until that reach was possible? When Facebook was purely a computer thing, you needed to be on your laptop, on your desktop to be able to do Facebook. That was when they wanted to buy it from him. And he said, what will I be doing? So for the sake of something to do every day, he held it until it is now what it is today. I don't have to tell you that you want to buy Facebook now. You have to bankrupt a few banks. Maybe he was the one that bought, they were the ones that bought WhatsApp and paid $19 billion. So I want to buy the whole of them. Now, why did I go into all of this? That we should not put God in a box when it comes to his answering our prayers. We mustn't do that. We must be careful. Maybe I'll finish this next time. To not turn off the switch of faith just because things are not working the way we thought they should. That's what I'm going to emphasize. I'm saying that God works through different methods. There are different processes that he uses. And the process he will use for you, you may not know it. Don't lock your eyes on one thing. And when that thing doesn't work, you say that the word did not work. Lock your eyes on the word alone. I use money as an example, prosperity, abundance. What he just simply says is in the scriptures. The curse has been broken. It's right there. The Lord is your shepherd, you will not want. It's right there. He said the young lions may suffer hunger and they may lack, but those who seek the Lord will not lack anything good. It's right there. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. It's right there. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in that he was rich, and yet for your sake he became poor, that all of us through his poverty might be made rich. It is right there. You've seen he said that God will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things, and you will abound to every good work. It is right there. These are the things you focus on all the time. And that's what they call sowing the word. And you go out every day sowing it. In all that he does, he prospers. Put your hand just like, okay, this one, that's what I'm doing now, I will prosper. You get my point? I like one thing that Peter Daniel said. First three or four businesses he started, he did not do well. All of them went bankrupt. This was his interpretation. I just knew that what was happening was that I had not yet located my own place. And the time came, he located his place in real estate. And that was when he stopped going bankrupt. I was in the story about him at the time. He had so much money. A bank approached him and said, come and put it. They were showing him all the deals they would give him, you know, that kind of thing. And the man said, what is the insurance you will give me in case your bank collapses? They said, no, that's not how banking is done. He said, no, that's how I want to do the banking. It's my money. That before you give me, before he said, okay, if I'm borrowing money from you, won't I give you collateral? He said, in that case, you are taking my money, I want collateral. But you know, for you to be able to talk like that, you must have power. You must have unkind muscle. And the guy had it and he used it. He told him, no, you ain't getting my money unless I have assurances that if your bank dies, I get my money back. He said, because when I borrow money from you, you insist on collateral. The tables have turned. We give glory to God. You are going to give me collateral. You are getting my point. This was what happened to this man. He got to that level in life. Yeah, the other things failed. He said, no big deal. I'm just discovering that which is not going to work. That is, so one thing failed. If your focus is on the word, you are not anointing that one. No, just put your hands to this. Once it's in your field, put your hand there. Be doing it. And like I said, as a believer, be cultivating faithfulness. You know your own balance sheet. Christian balance sheet is not money, first. Christian balance sheet is how well did I serve people. Christian balance sheet is how well did I tell the truth. When was it that I made an agreement and I changed my mind because it didn't favor me? Did that happen? No, I passed. Then you check it. If at the end of the day I lose money, I have passed the test of that day. I move on to the next day. God opens another door. I keep on fighting until it gets to a point in time, all right? The emphasis is that I never change my mind. I don't generally say there's a curse in the family. There's no curse in your family. What did I say? Mine. Put the word mine. What did I say? The one that had the curse, you left it when you gave your life to Christ. If any man, any woman be in Christ, the Bible said there is a new creation, that this God just began something new. All things have passed away. He said this was born, not of the will of flesh, but of the will of God. Not born of flesh and blood, but born of the Spirit. You don't have a curse. The only father you have, he said, I and the children that the Lord has given me, we are for signs and for wonders. And that was the Lord Jesus that was speaking. You don't have a curse. You have challenges, don't worry about it. You move on. Then God opens a door, you walk through it. That's why I said, identify something you can do. And if that's all you have to do your whole life, you're not going to get tired. Listen to me. Let me end with this. God will open a door for you.
Amen.
I said he will open a door for you.
Amen.
I said he, not he may, he will open your own door for you in the due season in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. What do I mean by the clouds? There's something he has given you for this season. Keep on doing it and fill the cloud to the full. Let me just add this one to it. I'll finish my message. We're closing. I'd just like to repeat the testimony of our current head of vice president. You know, maybe the Lord revealed to his grandmother that your grandson will be vice president. I don't know. But one thing we are sure of is the man did not plan to be vice president. 6 months before he became vice president, he did not know the idea would come up that he'll be a vice president. You know one thing I like about him? Just a testimony for believers. You know, this month's link, they even threw mud at the head of state. Where's his certificate? You remember that story? He no go school, he go school. They had things to say. One thing I like about the VP is that there was nothing anybody had to say. If there was, they would have said it. There was, oh my Father in heaven, nothing. And he was Attorney General for Lagos State for 8 years. Commissioner for Justice for Lagos State. If there was something to say, they would have said it. Then one day, the president won the primaries for APC. And they said for all the work that Abraham Tinubu did, okay, I met Tinubu. It's the GO that calls him Abraham Tinubu. For all the work that Abraham Tinubu did, he said, I will let him choose who will be the VP. And the man did not waver on one thing. I am not working with a criminal. Abraham Tinubu said, don't worry. I can arrange that. He looked around. Listen, David said, God will vindicate me. He looked around and said, ah, who's that guy? He has to be a Christian so we can balance the Muslim factor. He looked around. He has to be from the south. Of course, that it must be somebody that I know very well who's loyal and who does not steal. Because the head of state will not accept if the guy steals. And they picked him. Recently, he declared his assets. Listen, there was nothing he declared that a senior advocate of Nigeria could not have earned from regular working. He's a senior advocate and a professor of law. Attorney General of Lagos State for 8 years. Did you hear what I said? Commissioner of Justice in Lagos State. You saw the assets he declared. He's not a poor man. I'm not saying he's poor. You understand? But that is a reasonable income for a man his capacity. He never planned to be vice president. It was just a few weeks before the election. They said, pick a vice presidential running mate. And they picked him. And I thought it was a joke. Before you knew what was happening, they won the election. And like we say in my house, Baba Ike became the vice president. That's the main small man. You know the guy is a small man. That's it, his vice president. If I cracked a joke, I was watching it on TV. So one day they were going, after they won the election, they went to one of these northern cities. And people were thronging their car, you know, knocking on the door, you know, say Buhari. He said, Buhari looked, shook his head. They were in the car together. He said, these people expect us to solve all their problems in one day. He said, he turned to the president and said, sir, no. They expect you to solve their problems in one day. It's not me and you. What was he saying? That they voted for you. It's you they are expecting. He was joking, of course. He was the one narrating it. To tell you that he knew nothing. He was just in that home. They just picked him. And that's it. A few weeks later, he became vice president. God will open your door. Just be faithful in your 8 years as Attorney General. Don't steal anybody's money. Are you getting my point? Do your job and it shall be well with you. I don't know whether I finished this, but what I really wanted to say is still on. But let me just make the statement again. Don't turn off the switch of faith. God is working with a process, and that process may not be in the direction. That is, it may not be the way you expect it to be, but he's still working. Are you getting my point? I said what? He's still working. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's rise to our feet. We are closing.